I wanted to share an idea with you that actually is from last week's parsha. If we had it here yesterday, so I would have said it over yesterday, but I think it's important. One of the biggest concerns that I think everybody has, Bizman Hazeh, is what we would refer to, if you want to categorize it in our Mesira, is how to deal with Yishmael and the reality that Yishmael plays in the world, because we, of course, associate Yishmael with the Arabs, with Islam. So I found it fascinating to take a look at the makor of Yishmael, where he comes from, so to speak, what created him, why is he there? Because I noticed two things. If you take a look in Perek Tes Zion, so that's when, after Avram Avinu is promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to have a lot of descendants, it's going to be numerous, but Sarai still hasn't had a child. So of course we know, what did she decide to do? So she says to Avram, I have a slave, you'll take my slave Hagar, produce a child with her, and that'll be my child. Either because that's considered like the property of Sarah, or maybe she even freed her, maybe, or maybe it's because she was going to raise him, or maybe there's even a possibility that there's even like a jealousy that's produced or something, and that when one person has a child, maybe you can produce the possibility of a child in someone else. Isn't it very interesting? Sferno and such a, like almost like a psychological mechanism. But whatever it is, that's what happened. And I don't know if you noticed this, but what happens? Hagar gets pregnant right away.
How not allowed?
What?
How
exactly that was allowed for him to go ahead and produce a child with Hagar? It depends on how exactly that relationship came about. Was she freed as a slave? Was she no longer a slave? Was she still a slave? What is the status of Avram Avinu? Is he considered a Yisrael? Is he considered a Ben Noah? Like, what exactly is the status? That, all of that is going to change how you view the whole scenario on a technical level.
I think it's not about a concubine. It's probably about just go and have a concubine.
Why not?
Okay, but...
No, you
what exactly a pelagesh is and how it works, and does it apply to everyone? Maybe we'll save that for another time. Okay. But what I wanted to point out to you is that that's what happened, and Hagar gets pregnant right away. And what happens next? So first of all, Hagar develops a bad attitude, right? So she gets pregnant right away. Because she got pregnant right away, it says, "Vatekal gavirata beineha." She saw Sarai as very cheap in her eyes. Rashi says that she said to herself, "How could it be? She's such a tzaddikas. If she's such a tzaddikas, how come I got pregnant right away and she still has nothing? Must be that she's a phony." So she felt much. There was a tremendous arrogance over there. So what happens next? "Vatomer Sarai el Avram, Chomasi alecha." I gave my shifcha to you. She saw that she's pregnant. And I'm like cheap in her eyes. Yishpor Hashem beini uveinecha. Hashem should judge between me and beinecha.
And you.
So what exactly did she mean by that? So she's making one statement on the surface, the Pashup Shat, is that she's saying something about Avram Avinu. Perhaps she's saying, how come you didn't daven that I should have a child? How come you only daven that you should have a child? You did have a child, but what about me? So maybe she's critical of the way that Avinu davened for a child. Okay. Rashi points out that Hebrew 1105, I don't know, Hebrew 1104 maybe, 1106 for sure, what's going on in the words, in the letters? Ubeinecha should be spelled how? Beinecha. Beis Yud Nun Chav Sofis. There's a Yud here. Beis Yud Nun Yud Chav Sofis. Which normally would be pronounced Beinayich. Beinayich means between me and you, if you're speaking to a woman. Between me and you in the feminine. So if Sarai is speaking to a woman, she would say, Hashem should judge between me and you. Beini Beinayich. So Rashi's bothered by that. Why is the yud there? Why does it? It's like a remez. And it's as if she's speaking to Hagar. And she's saying to Hagar, Hashem should judge between me and you. What is that? Okay, so we're going to come back to that in a second. So what happens next? Avram says to Sarai, okay, you know, listen, she's your shivcha. Take her back. Do whatever you think is appropriate. And the pasuk says, "Va'te'aneha Sarai," that Sarai causes her pain, causes her suffering. But tivrach mipaneha, and so Hagar runs away. And then what happens next? Now again, is Hagar pregnant? That's what started the whole thing, right? She got pregnant right away. So she goes to the desert, and what happens? She sees this malach, and what does the malach tell her? Go back to your master, and suffer under her hand. And what's going to happen? And then the pasuk says, the malach Hashem says, hinach hara, you're going to become pregnant. Hara means to become pregnant. We'll add it bain, and you'll have a son, and you're going to call him Yishmael. But she was already pregnant. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi writes that she miscarried the first baby. Why? Yishpot Hashem, beini uveinayich, Hashem should judge between me and you, was what we call ayin hara. What's an ayin hara? That when a person sees that somebody else has something, and they're jealous, they're upset, they say to themselves, wow, how come I don't have that? So what happens? So in Shemayim, there's a din, and they say, wow, you know what, I don't know, does that person really deserve it? So here's a makor for the whole concept of ayin hara. Yishbot Hashem. Hashem should judge between me and you, as if Sarah is speaking to Hagar. She's not speaking to Hagar. She's speaking to Avraham. But she's upset about it. She's frustrated. Maybe she's jealous. I don't know exactly what she's feeling. This is Sarah Yemen we're talking about. But whatever it is, she created an ayin hara, and you see the mechanism is that it creates a judgment. So what would have happened? Imagine this scenario. What would have happened had Sarah never been jealous of Hagar? That baby would have been born. Mistama never would have been a Yishma. That's number one. Number two. The Ramban says something unbelievable. Had the Ramban not said it, we wouldn't be able to say it. But the Ramban says that Sarai caused suffering to Hagar, so that's why Hagar ran away. Zakti Ramban. Ramban says, Chata'a imenu bi'inui hazeh. Sorry, Menu did it, Avera. She sinned with this suffering. Vegam Avraham, and so too Avraham did as well. Behanich elases came, because he allowed it to happen. He didn't intervene. Vishama Hashem es anya, and Hashem heard her suffering. Venasan labain, and gave her a son. Sheyehe pere adam. That's going to be this wild man. La anois zera Avraham visara, bechol minei ha'inui. To cause suffering to the Zera Avraham and Sarah in all types of suffering.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it was two things that produced Yishmael, right? It was the Ayin Hara, number one. And number two, the treatment of Hagar that then, Mida Keneged Mida, produced the Yishmael.
But sin doesn't necessarily cause, like, negative outcome, does it? Like, when you sin, like God is
We don't know. The question you asked was, you know, what are the consequences of Avera? Does it always mean there's going to be something? Well, there's always some kind of consequence to an Avera. What it's going to be, there's the basic bottom line, the ABCs, the Yisod of everything, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything right away. That Kadosh Baruch Hu has a tremendous patience and waits for a person to do tshuva. If a person doesn't do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu intervenes to try and get the person to do tshuva and recognize what he did wrong. And ultimately, if there's no, the person didn't fix himself, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baal HaRachamim, does things to fix the person.
That sounds so scary.
Okay. Anyway, I want
to
share with you, in this context, a Rambam. The Rambam, as you may or may not know, in his Mishnah Torah, which of course I've mentioned a bunch of times, was his way of presenting the entire corpus of Torah Shebaal Peh, and he reorganized it in this encyclopedic way. And he also stuck into it Musar / Hashkafavorts, Really? In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam speaks about Musar and Ashkafa? The answer is, yeah, he really does. And I'm not just talking about his philosophical treatment of Hashkafa in Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam at the end of each section, end of each Sefer, has like a Musar for it. At the end of the Halachas, of the section that's called Kinyan, what's Kinyan?
Acquiring that.
Acquiring thing, property. So what do you think he sticks in over there? Where do you think Avadim would fit into his whole context over here? Kinyan. Sales, business, all those kinds of things. So something that's a business transaction is slaves. If it's an Eved Kenani, the person owns the slave. The slave, if the person dies, goes Birusha. It's an inheritance. It's a property. We don't really think about these things too much anymore. So the Rambam at the very end, Perek Tes Alachaches, he talks about what's called Avodas Parech. We're familiar with Avodas Parech from where? Avodas Parech? From Mitzrayim. Yeah? That Pyro worked. Klal Yisrael on Avodas Parech. So what does it mean, Avodas Parech? So either it means a very heavy-duty work where a person is just tortured because the work is too much, or it means a psychological torture that the person is constantly being forced to work, even doing things that are useless, but just get to work. You know, building buildings on quicksand and whatnot. You heard that one?
Yeah,
the prisoner story, where he's sitting there. You guys ever hear this?
No.
And once there was a guy who was in prison. And so his role in prison was to push this tremendous wheel. And every day he's pushing this wheel. And every day he thinks to himself, you know, what gets me through this is I have no idea what the wheel is. So in his imagination, it's a water wheel. It's producing this energy from the water. It's running a mill. And it's producing grains for people, for orphans, for widows, for people to survive to eat. Or maybe it's something else that's producing. So he has in his imagination all of the things that his cranking of this wheel is producing. And that gets him through every day, because then he feels like he's being productive and he's not just wasting his time stuck in jail, rotting away. So as soon as he's finally released, so what's the first thing he wants to know? So Taka, what have I been doing for all of these years? 20, 40 years, whatever, I've been stuck in jail. And he walks around to the other side of the jail, and on the other side of the wheel was nothing. It was just the other side of the wheel. It mamish was a waste of time. So I don't know, he died on the spot, he had a heart attack, whatever it is. The point is, nobody wants to feel, that's an avodas parech, that a person thinks and he's just being forced to do something for no reason. It's a psychological torture. So a person has a slave, and the slave is basking in the sun, you know, he's just getting a sun tan. So the person says, get up, go do something. So I have nothing to do. When you go do this, and he just gives him something meaningless to do, just to occupy his time. It's avodas parech. So if a person has an Eved Ivri, as a Jew, that he has as a slave, you're not allowed to work in Avodas Parech. Says the Rama, Mutar Lavoy be'Eved Kenani b'Farech. Technically speaking, it's permitted to work in Eved Kenani, what's called Avodas Parech. Yafal pisha dinkach, even though that's the technical halacha, Midas Chasidus, it's above and beyond, but it's considered a Chasidus, and it's darkei Chachma, and if you're smart, Shia Adam Rachaman, that a person should be merciful, tzedek, he should always be trying to be righteous. He should never have his yoke too heavy on his slave. You shouldn't cause him stress. You should feed him from everything you're eating, everything you're drinking. You should give him some of it. The early chachamim, when they would eat it themselves, their own personal meal, they would give some of it to the slave. You're supposed to feed your animals. You're supposed to feed your slaves before you even eat. We're even referred to when it comes to our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu as just like a slave has their eyes up to their master. They hope that, you know, what are they going to get? Everything that they have is coming from their master. You certainly shouldn't embarrass them physically or emotionally with words. They were given to a person as for slavery, to work, but certainly not to embarrass. Will Yarbel of Tsaka of Kas, a person shouldn't scream at them too much, shouldn't express anger at them too much. El Yadaberi Mopanachas, speak pleasantly, speak calmly, speak quietly to them. Vishma Tanoisav, listen when they have a problem, listen to what they say. Premafush Darke Yov, then he quotes some sources for this, and he says, Ve'ena Achzarius Ve'azus Mitsuya. What's Achzarius? What's an Achzar? A cruel person. Cruelty. And azus, chutzpah, brazenness. It's like a lack of sensitivity to others. You don't find it amongst Jews. Aval Zara shel Avram Avinu, v'hem Yisrael, the children of Avram Avinu, the Jewish people. Sheshpia lema Kadosh Baruch Hu tovas haTorah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the great good, that is the Torah, v'tzivo isam, v'chukum v'mishpatim tzadikim, gave us all of these laws, the ways to behave in life that are so righteous. Rachmanim heim al hakol. They're merciful on everyone. V'chein me'idoysev shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shonidamus b'hem. Similarly, when it comes to the midos that are ascribed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ha'omer v'racham avol kol ma'asov. Where do we say that? V'racham avol kol ma'asov.
Ashrei.
That his rachamim is on all of his creations. V'chol ha'merachim, rachamim alav. And we should realize that it's a midah k'neged midah as well. That when we have rachamim, so we get it back towards us. Sh'nemar v'yitein v'nosan l'cha rachamim v'richamecha. That if you have rachamim, it will be given to you. It's cyclical v'herbecha. So that's what the Rambam says, even when it comes to an Eved. So we should all, of course, realize, obviously, if this is their own property, and a person has to relate to the Eved in that way, so what they say, Kal v'chomer, ben b'no shel kal v'chomer. So how much more so if it's a person is a boss, and a person has workers, if a person has a housekeeper, if a person has someone that's certainly not their property, they're their own person. So of course we have to relate to them in a way that reflects a sensitivity and a rachamim on them. That's point number one. On the coattails of everything we've been discussing, just in terms of the world, Bizman Hazeh, and I told you I had a whole conversation with the Rukan about the elections before they happened. And there are a lot of people out there that are concerned. The concern is that when lack of sensitivity is given a green light, that when it's okay to make tweets that are attacking at everybody that a person doesn't like, or if it's okay to just go ahead and call all Mexicans, whatever you want to call them, if there is a green light given to achzarius, to hatred, so even though, you know, I don't know, did you look it up? What's Ivanka's Hebrew name? Is it actually Esther? So it's not, I don't think. They say maybe she adopted Yael. Okay, I don't know. But despite the fact that he has a Jewish daughter, there's a concern. The concern is that when these types of midos are given free rein, that unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, it shouldn't happen, but in history, so it's been reflected at the Jews. Because why? Because everybody knows, the Jews run the world, the Jews run Hollywood, the Jews run the stock market, the Jews, the Jews are the economy. So that's always been a danger, it's always been something that's haunted us. So Rukan gave the example, imagine a person is a slumlord. What's a slumlord? He probably doesn't live there. Slumlord means he's the landlord. He owns these big buildings that are inexpensive because they're dilapidated, they're run down, and the people that live there don't have a lot of money. And it's a slum. But he's a slumlord because he owns all the buildings because he came in and bought them up real quick. So what does he do? Well, what should he do and what does he do? Sometimes, unfortunately, two very different things. So you have very often from Jews, and they own a lot of buildings. And then, what do they do with it? So if they're evicting people, if they're making people feel like they're worthless and they're pieces of garbage and they're trying to squeeze them for all the money that they may or may not have, it doesn't go well for us. If a person owns all these buildings, is there something wrong with owning buildings? Is there something wrong with making parnassah? Is there something wrong with being a good businessman? No. But what do? So you go into these places and you try to do what you can to fix up the buildings. You make a barbecue for the tenants. You make them feel like you care about them. You make them feel like you care about them. The sensitivity, the Rambam is describing that one has to have even to his slaves. And a person expresses that sensitivity to the people that give him his parnassah. So then, okay, so it's much harder at least for a person to turn around and say, oh, the Jews, when, what do you mean? But the Jew that owns your building cares about you so much and tries to make sure that you have what you need, even though sometimes you can't even pay the rent.
A lot of people were seeing the Holocaust and do that, like, oh, yeah, you were so nice to us, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, a lot of stories in the Holocaust, people being saved because they behaved properly. So that's that. So you see...
There were two
things that produced Yishmael. Number one was Ayin Hara, and number two was lack of sensitivity. Now, the Ayin Hara in that particular case was an Ayin Hara that seems to have been created by Sarah because of a certain jealousy. And that's a Midah that, you know, if this turned into a real Musar Shmuz, it would be a different angle. But the angle of that is that when we look at other people, what they have, we need to realize that if we don't have it, it's not for us. So to see other people have things and us feel jealous and feel upset, why don't I have it? So we need to look into ourselves and say, why do we feel that way? Because if we don't have it, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's not for you. That's not your Avodas Hashem. I'm not giving that to you because that's not your tool. If you're a computer programmer and I give you a shovel, it's not going to help you with your computer unless it's really not working and you smash it. But that's not your tool for your trade. What we have are for us. If we don't have it, then it's not for us. It's not going to help us in our Avodas Hashem. It's only going to bring us down or the opposite or whatever. But be that as it may, I want to take it in a slightly different direction. Because on the one hand, I just mentioned to you that we need to make sure that we're not being cruel, that we're being sensitive. The other thing is, we need to make sure we're not creating Ayin Hara. What do I mean, we're not creating Ayin Hara? The other issue that historically the Jews have always had is that we tend to create an Ayin Hara. When you drive around in a fancy car, and when you build a big fancy house, and you're ostentatious in the way that you behave yourself with your money, which you may have, and that's fine. And you can support yeshivas, and you can support aniyim, and you can do a lot of chesed with money. But to use the money just to be ostentatious, and to build this huge structure, and to drive around in a fancy car, and to wear fancy clothes, and to show everybody how wealthy you are, that creates a tremendous ayin hara, and it's never good for the Jews.
I thought Ashkenazi was going to believe in ayin hara. I thought that's always smart.
Rashi was Ashkenazi. Rashi believes in ayin
hara.
Really?
No, like, I
Murray
like,
talks
like,
about ayin hara.
I always say, like, and, like, they're like, what do you think?
I'm just the way you said.
No, or you believe in Ayin Hara? It's like, yeah, like they're like, oh, if you don't believe in it, it's not true. That's right here. There's like a thing.
It's a reality, Ayin Hara. You have to try to avoid it. As Rashi, I think, is pointing out, so this is the dynamic of Ayin Hara. Yishbot Hashem beini uveinayich. That even though she was not speaking to Hagar, when she felt the way she felt about Hagar, it created a Yishbot Hashem beini uveinayich. It creates a din in Shemayim against the person. Because of that jealousy, because of the feelings that were created. So we need to take those two things and consider them very strongly. Number one, as Yidden, are we being sensitive? And number two, are we creating Ayin Hara? And if we can avoid those two issues, Amir Tzashem, then whatever is happening in the world, so hopefully that will be a Shmira for the Yidden.
Yeah, mine says that.